Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. We've been talking about the spike here, the second wave. It is happening in Europe as well. In Ireland, the total number of cases in the country has risen by 75% since the beginning of September. And tomorrow, they go on a six-week lockdown. The lockdown returns to Ireland. As you know, I travel often with groups to Ireland and have family there. I call them my cousins. They're really my wives, but one of them is Colm Woods, and he joins us now from Dublin. Colm, how are you, friend?
Hey, Steve. I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, you should. Thank you. It's nighttime there. You should be out at the bars. I think it's your last chance.
Well, I don't even think there's a chance for that. They've been closed for a lot longer, so I could have nipped out to a restaurant for 90 minutes, but I passed that up for you.
Thank you very much. Tell me about the situation there. We followed here in the U.S. where we sort of flattened the curve, but we remained at a much higher plateau than did Europe. Europe went down low, but your spike is preceding us now. You're exceeding us in some ways.
Yeah, and I think that's what it seems to be. I mean, I'm no expert, but it just looks like a curve that dropped well below levels in other countries, but has consistently risen across most of Europe, particularly in our neighbours in the UK as well. I think it's a lockdown that everyone was trying to avoid, I think mentally as much as economically. But I think just we don't have the infrastructure in our hospitals and medical sector to be able to handle the kind of surge at the moment. And unfortunately, the decision is full lockdown. It is full lockdown with exceptions different to last time. So schools remain open, creches remain open, a lot more essential services remain open.
When you say creches, you mean daycare, correct?
Daycare, I do right. Indeed. Apologies.
It's an English program.
Yeah, it must be. It's a very fancy word, I know. This is the kind of thing, and I sense that, or the mood certainly here is just out of frustration. I think after the last lockdown, it was a lot of 10K runs in the sunshine and baking banana bread, but I think the mood this time around is a lot more fatigue, yeah. A lot more people worried about their health, but also I think more so people worried about their economic situation.
You know, I've been there many times. I love the country. I love the people. But you were telling me just a moment or two ago that the spark is gone. Explain that for me.
Yeah, I think it's tough. I mean, our Taoiseach, so our Prime Minister, put it quite well in a couple of national addresses over the last couple of weeks. And ultimately, the decision for government is, as they say, between lives and livelihoods. So in the latest effort to kind of protect lives and protect our healthcare infrastructure, the real thing that has been lost is livelihoods. You know, we've seen a great amount of pubs and cafes and, you know, all the great places that you were able to enjoy on your trips over have closed, and some of them have remained closed since March. And unfortunately, many may never open again. The stats coming out today suggest that as of tomorrow morning, a further 200,000 people will go on to unemployment benefit, which is quite startling against the size of our country. But I think it's just that sense of novelty has gone with lockdown. The evenings are getting darker. As you know well, it's getting wet and windy. I think it's just the mood is quite low.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. The lockdown means you can't go with it further than 6 kilometers from your house, 5 kilometers. Is that correct? About 3 miles?
Yeah, 5 kilometers circumference. So you can kind of go like 2.5 in each direction.
Oh, wow. So and that means for work then, too.
Yeah. So I think the challenge people have is, you know, if you're fortunate enough, you can work from home. But a lot of people are put out of work just from the ability to travel. You know, we're a small country. Another part of the restrictions is having to stay in your county, and that has been the case for the last number of weeks. And, you know, as a small country, a lot of people come from neighbouring counties to Dublin in particular, or the big cities like Cork and Limerick. So again, I think it's just been a challenge on working life, but also the huge social aspect that we're known for. I think, you know, summer is a time for a lot of Irish weddings, huge tourism, big celebrations and festivals, and just all of that has pretty much ground to a halt.
What's it like on the streets?
Quiet. You know, if you're in Dublin city centre on Grafton Street of a Tuesday afternoon, even pre-lockdown, it's a different place to be. There's businesses that just couldn't afford to open their doors with the level of footfall on the streets. And again, it's that real mix now. And I think you guys see it, and we've seen it all over the world of, you know, there's people who are very nervous, and then there's people who are becoming increasingly anti-lockdown, anti-mask. Right. So again, it's got that real sense of divisiveness now, where you see things from social media shaming of people who are seen to flaunt the rules, or people taking quite aggressive stances against the lockdown. So it's just that level of divisiveness that we haven't seen in Ireland in a very long time.
Here, in many ways, it's party driven, or I shouldn't say driven, but party separated, where the people who are anti-mask and open up quickly, they tend to be more Republican. Maybe it's safer to say the people who are really pro-mask tend to be more Democrat. Is it a political thing there?
It's not party political, but it's been interesting in terms of socioeconomic background. So, I mean, there is a sense that people, lower income families, are not only under more pressure, but are under more risk of exposure to the virus, mm-hmm. just purely because of the type of frontline jobs that they do. I'd say, thankfully, there isn't it's not something that has been politicized in the Irish context, which is good. We have a coalition government at the moment. If anything, it's more just been a platform for a bit of political infighting, but we certainly haven't seen the divisiveness that you guys have in that arena.
So what does the lockdown look like tomorrow? I think you told me that it's a little looser than the original one. You said schools remain open. Are the children going to the schools?
Yeah, and it's been a real point of contention with, you know, both teachers and parents here. It seems that, you know, the government have made a commitment to education as a primary. So schools remain open. Now, the challenge is, you know, the questions arise around the safety of teachers and the safety of schools and how they handle outbreaks. But I think the government has been quite strong in its commitment that schools will remain open and education will be continued.
Have any schools had to close down because of an outbreak that you know of?
There's been a few reported. I don't think there's been, you know, school-wide outbreaks. I think it's more on a class and a different basis. I know the schools are operating differently, so rather than teachers and students mixing rooms for different classes or different curriculum, they stay to a room and they stay to different breakout rooms and teachers. So I guess, like everything else, it's more the whole experience of it has changed. You know, kids can't mix. They're wearing masks in the classroom. So again, everything is being done to make schools operable. But I guess the question is, you know, certainly the criticism has been that if 30 kids from 30 families are in a room all day and then go back to their own families,
what
implication does that have for suppression?
Okay, so you're in Dublin. Let's go down to Kerry, where it's a little more rural, specifically in Milltown, where your dad is from and your uncle still lives. Is the view there different than it is in Dublin?
I think certainly in the smaller towns, the economic hardship is definitely heightened. You know, rural towns that rely on small family-run businesses that don't have the income or the luxury of kind of holding firm during these times. And I think certainly the way of life is probably far greater affected. Without being presumptuous, I think, you know, some of the traditional challenges of rural living, such as broadband access and everything, have been solved. But I imagine that just the feeling around the town when a whole town would be affected, I imagine is far more heightened. And I guess that's a reflection of the communities they have down there. You know, community identity is probably less prevalent in the bigger cities. So it's more a collective feeling of loss of jobs and economies on their end, I'd imagine.
Jimmy, and you're okay? I'm hoping your parents?
Yeah, they're good. As you know, they're both in the education space. So dad is getting used to teaching with a mask on.
And not only can I see him, I can hear him.
Yeah, and that's it. And I think for him, you know, for both my parents, I think in the education space for a long time, I think for them, it's just seeing the bit of fun gone out of it, you know, that interaction with the kids that goes beyond the curriculum, that makes it all so much more interesting and enjoyable. That's probably the spark that's been lost in every industry. You know, I myself am working remotely since March. I haven't met any of my colleagues in person, and I think I'm part of a generation where people, not only will they likely be working more remotely, but again, you're starting to feel at this point the novelty's gone, that, you know, you're just not building those personal connections that are so important in everything we do.
Yeah, the point you make is you started a new job in March and you've not met the people that you are working with at all. This is Colm Woods talking to us from Dublin, a cousin of my wife Sharon's and a friend of mine and people I miss. We usually see at least some of the Woods every year. He's also the author of the marketing book Tailored Thinkers. Colm, it was great to catch up with you. I can't wait to see you hopefully next year.
Thanks, Steve. We'll see you soon, hopefully.
All right, be well. You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN.